Today, it is International Women's Day, and this episode is huge. We're going to be talking about how to build confidence, how to take risks, and we have a really vulnerable conversation about what it means to juggle work life and mum life, and all those parenting dynamics that come up when you're building your career. I've asked four amazing women to contribute to this episode. Erica Kramer, the Queen of Confidence, talks about how you can build confidence in your career. Laura Higgins, business coach to creatives all over the world, talks about how you can show up with main character energy. And hint, if you notice our voices sound similar, she is my sister and she's absolutely amazing. Tia Angelos shares about how you need to take a risk and put yourself out there. You would have heard Tia on the show before. She runs an amazing business called Smart Women Society. She helps women build their career and get good with money. And my amazing sister-in-law, Gabby, is with me in the room. She's helping me host this episode. You can find her, What the Health. She is absolutely amazing as well. This is a really raw convo. I'll give you that heads up. We dig into some big issues. I know you're going to love it. And make sure you share it with someone who needs to hear this. Let's get into it. This is a podcast about making work work. You'll learn about leadership, career growth, and how to navigate those weird work challenges. I run a HR consulting business called Boldside, where I help leaders build epic team cultures. If you lead a team or run a business and you think I can help, let's connect on LinkedIn. My name is Shelley Johnson, and this is Work.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, first question. We're going to jump straight in, Gabs.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, what is one lesson you wish you'd learned earlier in your career? And I got my sister-in-law Gabby, and then my other sister, Laura Higgins, who runs a business coaching business. I don't know if that's a correct title, but Laura Higgins, you can search her up. We'll put links into the show notes. I asked her this question. I said, what's one lesson you wish you learned earlier in your career? And she has sent through her response. I'm going to play it for you.
I'm Laura Higgins, and I am a business coach for creative service providers. And one of the big things that I wish I knew earlier in my career and in my business, and it's kind of more of a mindset shift and an energy thing rather than a tactical thing, but I wish I knew that I needed to show up with main character energy. Now, there's this great scene in the movie The Holiday, and there's this screenwriter, and he's talking to the character that's played by Kate Winslet. And he says this thing to her. He says, in the movies, we have leading ladies and we have the best friend. You, I can tell, are a leading lady, but for some reason, you are behaving like the best friend. Now, that line in the movie always stood out to me, of course, like coming a close second to the insane good looks of Jude Law, obviously. But it speaks this idea of main character energy. It speaks to this idea that resonates so much with me. And I think with so many people who want to succeed in their career and so many women who want to succeed in their careers and in their businesses, you are not the supporting role. You are not the best friend. You're not the person who sits on the sidelines. You are the main character. And so to me, the main character, doesn't mean it's all about me. It doesn't mean that I'm a narcissist or that I have a big ego or that I'm arrogant. What it looks like for me is standing tall and walking boldly into every room I enter. It's making brave, bold decisions and trusting that I can overcome any challenge that comes my way. It's having Beyoncé-level confidence matched by Beyoncé-level competence. It's leaning into my personality, my quirks, my uniqueness. It's not apologizing for being different. It's shamelessly going after what we want and not playing small. And the thing I love about main characters is that they always fight for a cause that is bigger than them. And so if I think about what does this mean for us as women, we need to stop sitting on the sidelines. We need to stop apologizing. We need to stop playing small and finally step into this main character energy.
I love that idea of main character energy and the difference between playing the supporting act or showing up with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what Law's saying about main character energy, because I feel like I have to embody that sometimes, or most of the time in my career. I have to embody that all the time, because a lot of the time I feel like an imposter. And imposter syndrome, I wish somebody told me that it was actually a really good thing, because it means that you're new at something and you have so much to learn.
And it also means that you, as a newbie, you're stepping into spaces that are going to grow you.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's the thing. It's like when you have imposter syndrome, when you get to reframe it as a positive, you start to go, okay, cool. Like I'm stepping into a space I've never been before. Of course, I feel out of my comfort zone. But instead of like freaking out, withdrawing and retreating from the challenge, I'm going to step in and I'm going to own the space and go, you know what? I might not know it all, but I can definitely learn it.
Yeah, I love that. And I think the question of why is so important in that as well. You know, you come into new situations and you're the newbie and you have this fresh perspective to go, why do we do things that way? And a lot of the time people will stop and go, I actually don't know. I think it's because we've done it that way
forever.
Most of the time.
Since the dawn of time. Yeah.
So it gives you such an edge and a main character energy to go, hey, actually, you know, why are we doing that? Maybe let's change it up. And you can blame yourself going, but if it doesn't work, it's okay because I'm a newbie, you know.
Yeah, I got my L plates on. Like, you can't blame me for anything that goes wrong.
That's right.
I think when I listen to that around the main character energy vibes and the supporting role, and I compare those two, I visually see, you know, that when you're on the sidelines and you're watching the game.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I used to play touch football and a long time ago.
You've mentioned this on the podcast a few times and I feel like you want to be known for it.
The glory days. Back when I was 17.
You played one game and broke your collarbone.
I'm sorry, everyone, that you have to hear that. You know when like people who like, yeah, they talk about their glory days as a sporting like thing. This is not that. This is not that. But okay, when I played touch football, which was many moons ago, and you would be on the sideline watching the game and you want to get out there because you can see your opportunity, but you're like, I need someone to sub in and out in order to play.
Yeah.
And I kind of think in your career, you get this opportunity to play the game, but are you sitting on the sidelines waiting? Are you the support act? Like, are you playing the supporting actor instead of taking the lead actor role? And if you're listening right now and you reflect on where you're at, this is what I think it looks like. It looks like waiting for someone to tap you on the shoulder for a promotion.
Yeah.
Instead of going for it, because you're like, well, if they think I'm good enough, they'll tell me, rather than putting your hand up. Being on the sidelines or being the supporting act looks like watching other people around you progress and wondering when will that happen for you.
Yeah, definitely. And also as women, we have this tendency to let other people go before us, and which is a great thing, but
yeah, the humility in it is good.
Yeah. However, when it's your career and you want to go for opportunities, it's so important to have that main character energy to go, hey, I've got this idea. I'm just going to back myself and then put it out there and be confident that it's going to succeed.
or even if it doesn't, I am going to be okay because I'm smart, I'm talented, I have all these things going for me and I can figure it out. Because for me, like the big thing with risk taking, if I think about anyone who's taking risks in their career, we often resist risk because of failure. But I think it's really important to go, all right, visualize the failure. Okay, I'll go for the promotion. I want to get a senior manager gig. Go for the role and I get rejected. Okay, what do? I bounce back. I go for another opportunity when it comes up. I look at other places that have similar roles. Like there are so many options in failure. But I think we've got this thing of like, well, if I fail, I mustn't be good enough. It's like, no, failure is part of the process.
yeah.
of having a good career.
Yeah. And it's all a part of that you stress that you talk about. You know, you have to fail. You don't have to fail. But when you fail, that then builds more strength and more confidence to be able to then do it again because you've already been through that process. You know how you're going to feel. You know how to then pick yourself back up and then go for more opportunities.
Totally. I think like just being okay with like, all right, I see. And for me, this has been really like a powerful mindset shift. Anytime I do something now, I'm like, oh, I'll have it. Okay, here's what I think.
Give it to us.
So, like, I was making the kids pancakes the other day. Yeah. And, like, when you make pancakes, this thing happens every time, every single time. The first two or three pancakes just suck.
They're the worst.
They're so bad. Consistently, it's like every time I do something, every time I make pancakes for my kids, the first two are just a write-off and I always give them to Bowie, my youngest, because he doesn't care what it looks like. But Sunny, if she sees, she's six, she'd be like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like she. But I think about this with when you're doing anything new, like starting a business or pursuing a management gig or like putting yourself out there for a new role or putting yourself out there on LinkedIn, whatever it is. The first two pancakes suck.
Yeah.
So the first few goes of trying something new is going to fail.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because you see it as a process, whereas you get to the third pancake and you're like, I am the queen of pancakes. Yes.
The pancake of my career.
The first two, always bad. But the lesson, and this is probably my thing if I think about this question of what's the big lesson, is to see failure as part of the process and know that you have so much talent and skill and competence and the ability to navigate failure really well. So that would be my encouragement to you if you're struggling with this idea of how do you show up with that main character energy. Before we go to the next question, what do you think has helped you navigate imposter syndrome?
That is such a hard question.
Because you're like, I'm living this right now.
Yeah, exactly. I live it every day. Something that has helped me navigate imposter syndrome is having this thought that I used to have this self-talk where it would be, oh my gosh, I'm just so terrible at this thing. And I learned this from you because I remember running into you when you were writing the careers book. And I was saying to you, oh, I've just been trying to do this thing. I'm really bad at it. And you just stopped me and you said, no.
Doesn't sound like something I would do.
Again, you are my most direct friend and I love it. No gabs.
Oh my gosh.
No, you're not bad at it. You just don't know that yet. You just haven't learnt it yet. And something that helps me so much in this imposter syndrome is the thought and the self-talk that, hang on, I'm not bad at this. I just haven't learnt that yet.
Oh my goodness, the yet is so powerful.
Yeah.
I'm just putting a yet on the end of that self-talk as opposed to I'm not good at this, full stop. I'm not good at this yet, or I don't know it, full stop, or I don't know it, but I can learn it. So like yeah. the power of yet or the power of like really stopping to challenge those beliefs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's so amazing. And I can hear my voice being really blunt and obnoxious and be like.
No, but it really stopped me in my tracks and it stops my thoughts from going back there and it gives me the opportunity to go, oh, hang on, no, I can learn this. It's just going to be a bit of a process.
The process, seriously, and I think that is a really big takeaway. See those learning opportunities as a process, not as a moment in time. All right, next question is how can women build more confidence? And I have outsourced this question to my beautiful friend and my mentor, Erica Kramer. She is the founder of The Queen of Confidence. If you don't know Erica, we'll put a link into the show notes. You need to follow her on Instagram. Her whole business is around helping women build their confidence. And so I asked her this question. Let's see what she has to say.
Women can show up with more confidence in their career when they do the inner work on themselves, when they are aware of the thoughts, the beliefs, the words, the actions, everything that they think about themselves. When we understand how we sabotage ourselves, where we hold ourselves back, when we understand the beliefs that we hold around our worthiness and our value, it is a game changer for women. We are usually the ones that hold ourselves back. If we're not raising our hands, if we're not standing up for what we believe in, asking for what we want, and valuing ourselves, we are teaching people and organizations how to treat us. So the way that we do this is by investing in our mindset, healing deep wounds, embracing our forgiveness for ourselves, understanding that vulnerability is a part of the process. It's a reconciliation with ourselves when we do this. We get to see who we're being out in the world and what we're putting up with. And when we do this, we can impact not only ourselves, not only our careers, but the organizations and the businesses that we work for. And so how we build more self-confidence is more trust with ourselves. Currently, right now, checking in where we're not trusting ourselves, where we don't keep our word to ourselves. By doing just that, understanding when you say something, you do it, that alone will build your self-confidence. And we need to, because nothing is going to change magically. International Women's Day themes are great, great for building awareness, great for pumping us up, the events that we get to go to and the conversations that we get to have. The world is listening on International Women's Day. Fantastic. But nothing is going to change. We individually are the ones that are going to create the change. And so if we commit to working on ourselves and letting go of any of the beliefs and blocks that tell us that we're not enough, then we will show up. We will stand up and we will speak up for what we desire.
I love Erica and I love her input here around this idea of self-trust. And I've been working with Erica on this personally. And she told me that confidence in Spanish, pronounced confianza, translates to trust or self-trust. And this idea of like, what does it mean to trust myself? And I think I've been thinking a lot about this lately because one of the struggles that I know I've had, I know a lot of people listening will have, is this idea of self-doubt. And to me, self-doubt is the opposite of self-trust. When we trust ourselves, we can actually back our own decisions and we have more clarity about what is right for us versus what's wrong. So let's say you're in a toxic work environment. When you don't have self-trust, you stay in that environment because you have this kind of mental narrative rolling through your head of like, I can't get a better opportunity somewhere else. There's nothing better out there. I'm not good enough. All these kind of awful self-doubt, limiting beliefs. But that idea of true confidence isn't arrogance. True confidence is trusting yourself.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like been huge because what she talks about around addressing your belief systems. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think that's like the deep work that is so, so challenging.
Yeah. And it's the belief that you can succeed. So the opposite of that and not being confident is then the belief that you can't succeed.
And that's the thing. If you're operating under the assumption of I'm not good enough, I can't succeed, if I take that risk, it'll fail, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Because you don't take any action.
Yeah.
But if you can address the belief systems that sit behind the action or inaction. So let's say you are that person who's stuck in a work environment. This, you know, if you were to really think through, you're like, this is not right for me.
Yeah.
But you stay, and that inaction is because of a limiting belief that you can't get something else elsewhere. But if we look at, okay, well, why do I believe that?
Yeah.
And really start to challenge, okay, why do I believe that? Is that actually true? And this is something that Erica teaches, that idea of really challenging the belief. So if you believe I'm not good enough or I can't get a job elsewhere, is that actually true? Like, do you know that that's something that's true? And then digging into it even further and understanding, okay, well, if I were to change that belief, what would that mean for my life?
Yeah.
If I was to challenge that belief system that I hold about myself, what would that mean? And I think that's why often we focus on the action, but the thing that precedes the action is the belief system.
Yes. I love that. And it's all about self-talk.
Oh my gosh.
So
it is.
It is. Because I've been there myself. I've had so many limiting beliefs in, you know, I can't get another job because my skills were, I've had two careers. My first career, my skills were so honed into one career. So I felt like I couldn't change.
So you were, and just for context, anyone listening, Gabs was a radiation therapist. So really niche.
Really niche. So niche that I felt like I could only do that one job. And what's more limiting is the radiation therapy departments. There's a few more now, but there used to be one in pretty much every state or a few in every state. So you were so limited to where you could live and work. And my limiting belief was, well, the skills that I've developed here in this career aren't transferable. But in fact, they are. They're so transferable. I learned organization. I learned communication. I learned, gosh, how to talk to stakeholders, how to, you know, do so many different things. And
you were dealing with people in some of their most critical, difficult moments, like in huge crisis with major health conditions, and you're there, right there with them, like front line. And I think anyone who works in the medical industry gets it's like you're on the front line with people in their hardest situations that they'll ever have to go through.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I learned even how to communicate in a really vulnerable way and listen to people, actively listen. So my self-limiting belief was that, you know, none of those skills were transferable because of the degree that I did. But in fact, they were so transferable in other areas. So it comes back to self-talk and how you change that. So I had to go through a really big growth period of, you know, changing the beliefs that I had about myself and the actually acknowledging the strengths that I had, and then backing myself to be able to apply for different jobs.
That's it. And I think what you said there about self-talk is so important. So like it is a really deep work because you have to, and for me, one of the things Erica's taught me is to write it down, like write the belief down. And when you look at it on paper in the light of day, you're like, holy shit, do I think that about myself? Like, because what you're saying there is I could never get a job elsewhere.
Yeah.
And if you write that down on a piece of paper and you eyeball it, and you're like, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Like, no, you could get a job in a bazillion places. But like, we need to confront, and Jim Collins says this about business, but I think it applies to our life. You need to confront the brutal reality. And like confronting the brutal reality in your self-talk is, in my opinion, writing it down and looking at it and going, holy crap, is that what I truly believe about myself? And when you see it on paper, you're like, nah, I'm not buying that. That's just a load of crap. And then I guess to fast forward for you, a long journey, but one that everyone needs to go back and listen to. So if you think you need a career change, we'll put the link to the show notes of Gab's story, because it's an epic story of like a huge career change that you made into naturopathy.
Yeah, that's it. Naturopathy. You did it.
So I guess like I'd love to know from you, like that transition period from radiation therapy to naturopathy, when you look back on how you saw yourself versus how you see yourself now, what's changed for you?
I had to do so much self-work in that area of development and self-talk. One thing that actually really helped me was seeing a psychologist. And, you know, it's a very psychologist-y thing to do, but they go back to your childhood and then they, you know, talk about you as a child. And one of the things that they mentioned was all of the negative self-talk that I had, they said for me to imagine myself as a 10-year-old child and then tell yourself as that child all those negative thoughts. And that was so impactful to me because I was like, no way would I ever say that to a 10-year-old, you know, child.
It makes me emotional just thinking
about
it.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Sunny and I was going, I would never say this to Sunny, who's your daughter, Shell, and my niece. And so I think that's shifted something in me that I have this photo of myself as a little girl and I'm in a Princess Jasmine outfit. And I had it beside my bed and every morning I would wake up and look at that photo and just think, I'm going to talk positive to that girl today. And that's how I started that journey of inner self-talk and confidence and changing my beliefs.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I love that. It does make me feel a bit teary because the idea of, and we've talked about it on the pod before, of self-compassion is really it sounds like fluffy and soft, but it is so hard to do. To like give yourself compassion and imagine yourself saying the things that you tell yourself, not good enough, can't do it, don't have the skills, I'll get rejected if I go for that thing. If you wouldn't say that to a friend, but you say it to yourself on repeat. And so that we have to bring those thoughts to the surface and go, okay, is this true? Do I believe this? Mm. And what am I stopping myself from achieving by believing this thing?
Yeah.
I think it's so funny. We've gone so deep, which was to be expected on International Women's Day. Things are getting deep. All right. I also love that Erica talked about nothing changes unless you change. And I think for us, we can't control all the things that happen out there, but we can control how we show up, how we think, and our mindset. And so a lot of this, I'm so glad we're going deep on this mindset stuff. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from our last guest on one thing every woman needs to hear in their career. If you want to grow in your career, I just wanted to remind you about our book, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Glenn James and I have written this book to help you with any kind of career crisis, but also those things that you want, like getting a promotion, making more money, moving into a leadership role, or if it's time to quit your job. You can find our book wherever you get good books from, or you can listen on the audiobook, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Now let's get back to the show.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, the last question. What's one thing every woman needs to hear in their career? And I have asked our beautiful friend of the show, Tia Angelos, founder of Smart Women Society, to share her advice. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Tia Angelos and I am the founder of Smart Women Society. The one thing that every woman needs to hear in their career is simple, and it's only three words. Shoot your shot. The best things that have happened to me in my career are because I took a risk. How many times have you talked yourself out of a potential opportunity because you didn't feel worthy or experienced or qualified enough? But if you never go for what you want, you'll never have it. If you never push yourself outside of your comfort zone, you'll never grow. And if you don't ask, the answer will always be no. Shooting your shot isn't always easy, don't get me wrong. It will be scary, nerve-wracking, and uncomfortable. But don't let the temporary discomfort override the possibility of a life-changing win. Keep backing yourself no matter how many tries it takes.
Oh, I love Tia so much, and I love her advice about shooting your shot and taking a risk. And I think risk-taking, it goes back to what we were saying before around sometimes we avoid risk. Well, mainly I think we avoid risk because of fear of failure.
Yeah.
I was deeply in thought. I'm like, are there any other things? I'm just thinking, I don't know. I feel like fear of failure is the big
100%.
One.
I'm such a risk adverse person because I fear failure so much.
Totally. And I mean, I do like the basketball visual of like shooting your shot and going, okay, well, you lose 100% of the shots you don't take. Is that the quote?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, I don't know. It's certainly not mine. It's just apologies to whoever it is. But I love how Tia describes the answer. If you don't apply for the job, the answer is no. If you don't take the risk, there is no reward. So it's finding a way to go, okay, I'm going to put myself out here. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to create a level of like good stress. But if I sit back and like Laura said up front, I'm the supporting actor rather than the leading person, we don't get the wins.
Yeah. And to put yourself out there is to put yourself out for the opportunity. And then it goes back to what we were saying at the start. If you fail, you just learn from it and you do the process again. So it's just about going for the opportunity and just putting yourself out there.
Yeah. And remember, the third pancake is always good.
Exactly.
So if you go, you know what, two fails for the third one, here's a charm. I do love the ability to learn. And I think one of the things I reckon also stops people, if I think about risk, so there's fear of failure. And so now maybe I'm having other thoughts around why people might not take a risk. But to your point, when you did your radiation therapy degree, which is an expensive degree,
yeah,
a lot of time, a lot of study, and you invest, I don't know, like let's say 40 grand into that degree. Mm. Which is still probably paying off.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and you're like, oh. So the idea of sunk cost fallacy. So if we've spent a whole crap ton of money on something, like a degree, and we're like, I have to use this.
Yeah.
And that sunk cost can become a trap and become like a dead weight where you're like I'm sinking more time, more money, more emotional energy, more mental energy into this thing that's already cost me 40 grand that I'm going to be paying off until the end of time.
Yeah.
And that sunk cost can stop you from taking a risk. So understanding, okay, what might be holding me back from shooting my shot? And is that a valid reason? Because now you're in a career where you are, well, I won't tell me how much happier you're
yeah,
you
oh
are.
Oh my gosh. 1,000 times happier.
1,000 times, yes.
To say that radiation therapy, I did enjoy it and it was a great career to have. I think I don't regret it. I think it's taught me so much and it was great for that time in my life. But if I was to think back on your point, Shell, I was really held back by that thought of going to a different career because I had spent or I had invested so much money, so much time into that first degree that it almost, you know, deterred me from switching careers. And I think a lot of that or a part of that was a thought of, well, what are people going to think if I just switch careers and I've spent so much time and money into this other one? However, who cares what people think? Mm. And I had to think ahead and go, well, in 5 years, in 10 years, if I'm still doing this career, am I going to be happy? And am I going to feel fulfilled? And the answer was no. So I had to make a change then to be able to then create, you know, more opportunity down the road.
That comment you make of looking fast forwarding down the track of 5, 10 years, will I be fulfilled? Will I be happier? And realizing, nah, I'm not. Like, no.
Yeah.
The short answer is no. And then we go, okay, cool. That forces us to make a decision. And the decision is, to Tia's point, like shoot your shot. Go and study again. Yes, there's another cost in there, but the cost of not doing that and spending 5 to 10 years in a career that you don't like, that you go to every day and you think, this is absolutely sucking the life out of me.
Yeah.
That cost to me is greater than the cost of trying something new and seeing how it goes and figuring it out.
Yeah.
Is there any other thoughts you have? That question that we asked Tia, what's one thing every woman needs to hear in their career? Is there anything else that you would like to add into that conversation, Gabs?
So it's interesting that you asked this question because I actually haven't had this said to me and I would love for somebody to tell me is I would love for somebody to say, hey, if you decide to have a family, you won't fall behind, you won't lose opportunities, you won't be disadvantaged if you take a year off to spend with your child and family. But I haven't had anybody say that to me. Mm. So I would love to hear from you, Shell. Like, obviously, you've been through that. You know, do you have any advice for young women trying to make this decision where they're, you know, they want a career, they want to thrive, but they're also at an age where they have to think about family and how that all works?
Oh, this is such a big question. And I wrote down on mine, one of the questions we were going to ask, which we didn't, was what do we want to see less of for women? And I wrote down the motherhood penalty. And that's something that is this idea that mothers or mums get penalized because they take time off work and their career. There's a penalty for having kids. And I think for me, that is just something that I don't want women to have to experience. I don't want them to be set back in their career because they choose to have a family. I don't want them to miss out on opportunities. And I mean, today, as we're doing this podcast, the Workplace Gender Equality Agency released the data of the gender pay gap. And we see all the pay gap when it comes to super and when it comes to salary. And we're confronted with, again, the brutal reality of that pay gap. I just think this friggin' sucks. Like, it just sucks. And it sucks seeing it. And I think for me, that's one thing I want to see less of. I want to see less of the motherhood penalty. I've been thinking heaps about this, like your question of why. And I'm really surprised you wrote that down because it's thrown me a bit. Because for me, it is a pain point. So for me, I want to see less of that motherhood penalty and more opportunities for women while they're off on parental leave. Like, I can imagine this environment. I don't think this is too far off, where you're on parental leave, you're having 12 months off. The workplace I imagine that I want to be part of, and I want every one of our listeners to be part of, is one where you're off on parental leave for the year and you get a call up 3 months in and they're saying, "Hey, Jess, we just want to check in. How are you doing? I also want to let you know there's this opportunity that's come up and we think you're perfect and we want to give this opportunity to you. We're going to hold the role for you for the next 9 months until you're ready to come back. Just want to keep you in the loop." And then Jess, whoever Jess is sitting there thinking, "I'm not missing out.
Yeah.
I get to have my 12 months or however long you want off, and I get to be kept in the loop. And my organization is thinking about my career progression, not forgetting me while I'm on parental leave." And yeah. I think that to me is the organizations that I see. And there are organizations out there right now doing this, like 100%. I just don't think there's enough of them. And that's where I want to be part of that world of work. And I also recognize the challenge for mums, and this has like been a real challenge for me in my career, where you feel, and it does make me teary saying it, so we're just going to go there.
Yeah.
I think the struggle, Gab, is like when you feel like you're killing it in your career, you feel like it comes at the expense of your role as a mum or a parent. And when you are absolutely so engaged as a mum and you're doing all the things that is, and there's so much involved in being a parent, you feel like it's coming at the expense of your career. And I hate that tension. Like, I just hate it. And maybe that's why people aren't saying that advice to you, because we're living in the tension and the pain of it. Like, I'm like getting emotional. I'm fully crying as I'm talking about this. Like, you know, I just think, well, how do we change that? And I've really been wrestling with this idea for a while. And it came to a head. I was in Melbourne running a workshop, starting the business. I was traveling all the time. And Sunny was in kindy and she had this, it was the week of Mother's Day. And I didn't realize, but there was like a Mother's Day like parade thing on at school. And as I was traveling down, I'm like, shit, I'm going to miss this thing. And like, it was so like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm not there. And it's her first year of school and I'm like away for work. And I was in the hotel just feeling so flat and so down about what was happening. And I was like, on the surface, like the business is going so good, like all this growth, like all this traction. But then internally, I'm just like overwhelmed with this feeling of like, I'm failing as a mum and not there. And then she called me that afternoon after the Mother's Day thing. And I was like, "Mum, like, I wish you were here. Like everyone else's mum was here." And I had this moment of like, we have to be, how can we do this better? Like, how can I do this better? Like and I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And that's the worst part. I'm like, I have no answer. I just have the tension that I'm living in, the pain of feeling like one thing comes at the expense of the other. Here's what I keep thinking about though. because this is like, anyone listening, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so depressing. I want to say to you, I think about my daughter and my son who get to see their mom have this career and do the thing and build a business. And this is what they also get because Sam this year, my husband, has decided to do the stay-at-home dad gig. And they get to see a dad who is present, who is all in, who is there, who gets to do all the school stuff, who gets to do the drop-offs and pickups. And that to me, I'm like, that is so good for our kids.
Yeah.
Like I'm so stoked that they get to see their dad all the time doing all the, and Sam is just amazing. He is the most amazing dad. And I just think, you know what? My daughter is going to live in a world and have a career that looks different and she's not going to feel the tension that I feel right now. And that's my hope. And that's why I think that's what I want. That's what I want for women in the future. That's what I don't want them to feel that mom guilt. What I want them to feel is that they can have a thriving career and be a fully engaged, fully invested mom. And I think we can do both. But we need people probably to have these conversations where they're like, honestly saying, it's a struggle, but I'm learning this and this is what I'm aiming for and this is how I show up as a parent and show up in my career.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing, Shell. I mean, it is so helpful for me as somebody that doesn't have kids and have these conversations all the time with people that don't have kids and are in the same position as me to understand that because it isn't really talked about. And it's kind of like the elephant in the room that, you know, if you do fall pregnant, then it's a bit of a, you are just going to suffer for a year or more in your career. So I think it's important to bring to light that that is a major issue for women today. And then also the other issue is that comes with that is then you do want to succeed in your career, but then you want to succeed as a mum. So how can you do both and how can you do it well?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing of like, you can do both and you can do both well, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that. And I think again, this keeps coming back to learning by failure. Like I was so, so down when I was in Melbourne that time and I missed the Mother's Day thing. And I thought this year, that's not happening.
Mm.
And so you learn and you go, cool, I'm going to figure out all the dates of all the school events because there's a bazillion of them. And I'm going to go, okay, which ones will I go to and which ones am I okay to not go to? Because that's life. Like there'll be the ones that you can go to and can't go to. But like the learning and finding, and I was listening to Janine Alice, the founder of Boost, talk about this. And I just think about her career and her career has been absolutely amazing. She said this amazing thing, which I've really held on to. Each year on her kids' birthdays, she'd take them out of school and they got to choose what they want. And so she would be really intentional about the way she would spend time with her kids. And she's founded this huge business, huge success. She had four kids. She's done this thing and worked out a way to go, you know what, I give my kids quality time, but I do it in a way that's intentional. It doesn't have to be geared around a school and schools have the most chaotic schedules and things that they do. And they're like the day before, they're like, here's what we're doing tomorrow. And you're like, excuse me, I have a calendar and I wrangle calendars all day. So there are people, and this is where I think community matters. So finding a community of people who are doing things that you want and you look at them and you think, they're doing the mum thing and they've got an awesome career. How do I find people who are doing what I want to do and learn from them?
Yeah.
And that's been a massive thing for me, community of women who have kids who also have their own business and going, cool, I want to learn from what you're doing because it is difficult.
Yeah. No, that is such a good point because obviously we've spoken a lot about, you know, putting yourself out there and doing the thing and then, you know, you may fail and then learning from that. But another way to learn is to learn from other people's mistakes. Yes. So yeah, finding that person that, you know, is in a similar trajectory or where you want to be and then just having a conversation with them.
Yeah, that's it. Learning from other people's mistakes and learning from other people's things that they do that are really special, which is like the Janine Alice example of taking her kids out of school on their birthday and like pick up those little things from people and go, okay, cool, what is it that I'm going to do that's going to help me and make this dynamic easier? And also imagining what it means for your kids. And this is big, like I can't wait. I think Bowie, my son, is going to be such, he's going to have an example of a dad who's so present. And that to me is like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Like he, I don't know. I just get so excited about that, that idea of what it means for my kids to be brought up and see that in their own family.
Yeah.
Well, holy moly. We were walking down the stairs before this episode and we were like, Gav's mum is here looking after the kids as we're recording this. So Sam's mum, my mother-in-law, is here, minding the kids. And she says, as we're walking down, just speak from the heart.
Little did she know.
Great advice it was. And next minute we're like, where the bloody hell are the tissues?
Didn't mean to go that deep.
I also think I had like maybe a little bit of snot. It was a lot. It was tears. But you know what? It's International Women's Day. And I just want to say to you, if you're listening, we love you in this community. I'm so grateful to all our listeners. Like seriously, this is just such a beautiful community to be part of. Thank you for supporting the podcast. If you think someone can benefit from this, and the tears, share it with a friend. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love if you can give us a 5-star rating and review. Tia Angelos, Laura Higgins, and Erica Kramer, thank you so much for your input to this conversation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Gabby, love you.
I love you, Shell.
Thanks for hanging out. Awesome. Hey, well, chat soon. See ya.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast.
Before you do anything meaningful with your money, you need to be able to control your money. I can help. The Glen James Spending Plan is a complete spending plan budgeting system that will show you how to manage your money. It includes a downloadable spreadsheet that will tell you how much to put into what account each week, and you will get control over your money within 2 pay cycles. Thousands of people have used the Glen James Spending Plan and it is now free. So download the Glen James Spending Plan and enroll today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.